Now playing in Los Angeles, exquisite food and drink, world-class art everywhere, spectacular sports, dazzling Hollywood attractions. L.A. offers the full variety of food scene, from game-changing taco trucks to 35 Michelin stars. And did you know that Los Angeles has more museums and theaters than New York City? Get your fix in music, film, comedy, and world-class museums. Plus, get behind the scenes in movie magic with a world-famous studio tour. That's something that should be on everyone's bucket list. Start here with discoverla.com. When you hear that Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan, you're probably thinking, what's the catch? Well, there isn't one. Mint Mobile is here to rescue you with premium wireless plans for just $15 a month. Say bye-bye to your overpriced wireless plans, jaw-dropping monthly bills, and unexpected overages. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. You can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. Our producer, Sean, is a big Mint Mobile guy. Here's what he had to say.
For a fraction of the cost, Mint Mobile proved to have excellent coverage with no dropped calls or unsent texts. Plus, they make it super easy for me to activate my device just by following a few simple steps online. And bam, done. It was great.
To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/literally. That's mintmobile.com/literally. And cut your wireless bills to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/literally. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Big fan of yours. It's go time.
This is definitely go time. This has been a real exciting part of my life the last decade and a half.
Hey, everybody, it's me, Robbie Loesky. It is literally. So Julian Edelman joins us today, the legendary Patriot. He's got more Super Bowl rings than I have, that's for sure. And I just love his story. He's an undersized, overlooked guy, grinder, and he ended up Super Bowl champion and MVP in 2019. And I am wearing my generic NFL hat for this interview. And we're going to get to the bottom of all this Tom Brady nonsense. Where's that man playing? I need to know. And I'm going to know by the time this is over. So stand by. Julian, what's happening, man?
Not much, man. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm psyched to talk to you. It's so funny. I mean, we'll probably be jumping around all over the place in this conversation, but I remember watching the famous Atlanta Super Bowl that you guys won and saying when Matt Ryan and the Falcons shit the bed so badly, I was like, they'll never be back. I was like, this is the end. I mean, I don't mean to be a dick and I'm not trying to be mean and everybody loves Matt Ryan. He seems like he'd be a great guy, but it was, I knew you don't come back from that.
That's a tough one for the old psyche. I've lost in the Super Bowl, and it's a tough off season afterwards when you're dealing with it because you have that taste in the back of your throat, or you're playing in that final game, and you go through all the I wish I would've's in that whole preparation 2 week period that you had going into the Super Bowl, the things I could have done, things that, and never have I lost a game like that, but it's definitely very hard to come back from, and I feel bad, but I don't, because
why would you? Hell no.
You can either win or you lose, and it was part of our team, and it shows a lot about the mental toughness of that 2016 football team in New England, and every team always has their their theme, and it was pretty insane. Like, I've watched that game. I watched it probably like 9 months ago for the first time on the TV copy.
Oh, wow.
As a spectator and as a fan and as the drama.
It's totally different. It's a totally different experience, isn't it?
Totally different. You know, and the NFL does such a great job with producing and making this game into a story. And I sat and watched it. I was like, I don't know how we came back from that thing. Like, that definitely puts you under.
Yeah, you're living in real time. And the viewer is having a completely different experience. And when there is a real storyline going on like that, the viewer is getting it in ways that the players never will, because you're reacting on the spot and doing your jobs. But meanwhile, the billion people watching have a whole other perspective. And when Matt Ryan took that sack, I was like, bro, you cannot take that sack. That to me was it. You got to throw that ball away. Period. Full stop.
Yeah, you do. I mean, situationally, you probably don't want to take that sack, but there's more than just one play that defines that.
That's
game.
Right. No, I know. You're right. You're right. You're right.
That's how it goes. I mean, the holding penalty, the sack fumble by Trey Flowers, the Hightower sack, the 2-point conversions by Danny Amendola and James White, having a rookie receiver on the outside and Malcolm. Who goes out and makes big-time catches and, crucial situations to try getting the game to go into overtime. Tom having a short memory with the first half on the turnovers that, yep. We had. And the mental toughness for a team to really just, put everything aside from what happened in the first half and really just think about going out and winning each play. I mean, that's a disciplined thing to have to do. People don't realize it's hard to just kind of not foreshadow, not think about what you're trying to achieve and really just think about the process and like, all right, well, if we don't win this play, it's just going to go worse. Let's just stack winning plays. And then that's what that team did.
No, they really did. And had Stephen A. on the other day and we were talking about Russell Wilson and all that stuff. And I was like, there's a part of me that feels the same way about that because you've always spoken your mind. And I feel like a lot of these NFL analysts are so in the tank for the NFL. I love the NFL. We have a great relationship. I don't want to say anything to piss the NFL off, but I think a lot of these announcers are so in the tank that they won't state the obvious. If you're Russell Wilson and you're this franchise quarterback and all this, and you do not hand the ball off to Marshawn Lynch, why don't you just say, I didn't hear the call and hand it off? Because you have to know. Or you're an idiot. Say, I didn't hear the call.
Yeah, but you don't know what the plan was going into that play. Mm. I mean, we gave a 13 personnel group on defense, which is, three safeties, one corner, and a bunch of linebackers, big personnel. So, like, that is, like, red flags as the quarterback. Let's probably try to get our team in the best play call. We hit this same play. And we've checked into this play multiple times when we got a blitz zero look. Let's do it again. And they've had success on it. I mean, they hit that exact play probably 3 or 4 times that year. Because I remember watching in practice in Arizona, Josh Boyce, one of our practice squad receivers at the time, killing our defense on that exact same play, like 10 times in a row. And I'm thinking, and like the urgency is so high. When you're practicing for the Super Bowl week, like everyone is zoned in, like the offense, when you're not doing something productive and you have a little time off, you're watching how the defense does. You want to see if they're being accountable and they're putting their work in. And, when defense isn't doing something, they're watching us and everyone wants to see everything. I sit and I look over to him and don't like, I hope they don't run this goddamn play because we're going to get smoked on it. But, it happened and we were prepared for it. And, Coach Belichick made a great call and he had a crazy like look in his eye where he was staring over down at the other side of the.
Oh, yeah. No. And that's another thing. Now, on the sidelines, could you see it? Because watching the game, it was patently obvious that Belichick was like putting the voodoo hex stare on him.
Well, he did that. He was still. Everyone was like assuming that we were going to take a timeout.
Yeah.
and he was letting it run down. And then he threw out that personnel group. Like he was, I think he was looking to see what they were going to do. And I mean, that's part of his genius of being one of the best coaches of all time in all sports. So yeah, it's terrible for, you know, Seattle and their fan base and Marshawn. And, you know, there's a terrible outcome. They won a Super Bowl the year before, so I'm not really sad for them. But, you know, someone's got to go out and win, and there's going to be mistakes. And that's football. You know, that's the crazy thing about football. Anything can happen.
Yeah, but they've never been, arguably, they've never been the same. It was, you know, it wasn't much longer. Russell was gone. It's just never been the same. Coach Belichick, I've never met him, really want to meet him. I want to do, you know, as an actor, you got to do press interviews all the time, you know, whatever, red carpets and satellite media tours and Jay Leno, whatever, fucking Jimmy Kimmel. I would love, I don't have the guts to do it, but I've thought for years about going on in a cut up hoodie and just having nothing to say in the interviews, where they'd be like, so 911 Lone Star season 4 is coming out. What do you think about it? I'm like, oh, worked hard on it, and I mean, people are going to like it. Just crickets. I would love to do Bill Belichick as a bit, like, and commit to it. Like, you know how long that segment would be? How it would just be gnarly.
It'd probably be about 15, 16 minutes with like 17 words, 12 words maybe. Yes, no, maybe, on to the next.
It's the greatest thing ever. I just howl.
The thing is, he does that strategically. You know, he's such a crazy preparer, where he doesn't want to give any information when you're talking about injuries, scheme. You could literally listen to some of these coaches in a post game or in a pregame or in something or in an interview, and they'll literally give you the answers to the test sometimes. Well, we need to be physical. We need to run the ball. We need to set up our play action. And so if you got people that are watching this on the other side, I mean, you could already, on first and second down, they're going to try to pound that thing, look out for this play action out of this formation. So there's a lot of strategy. There's a lot of information you can get out of those things, and he doesn't want to give anything out. And that's why he does that, I think.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
But if you ask him a historical question that has nothing to do with the game, that specific game, he will go into a crazy 15-minute monologue speech on, you know, how Lawrence Taylor was great at this. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
you just got to figure out how to press the right button with old Coach Belichick.
He likes to fish, right? He's a big...
I think he does some deep-sea fishing when he goes out. Into like, I think he's got a place in South Florida.
Does he work out? Somebody told me a story, got an, I'll butcher it, of coming in and seeing the Belichick's up at 4 a.m. I don't know. Is he a workout guy or no?
Yeah. Coaches, they all are in the gym, but, or doing something. I wouldn't call them workout warriors, but they definitely, you know, try to get some work in because they're around, you know, specimen athletes all day, and they're harping like, you know, nothing's more important than your health and dietitian, this, that. And you'll see them in the locker room, or you'll see them in the weight room on a treadmill, you know, watching film with a sweat bag on, with his playbook, you know, for hours late at night. Like, that's what he does. I mean, that's part of his exercise routine. I wouldn't call it like he's a workout warrior by any means. Like, but if you look at him,
he's fit. He's totally fit.
He's not. I mean, I wouldn't call. Yeah, he's no Sylvester Stallone, but he looks great for his age. Coach Belichick. I mean, he's aged pretty well with the stress that guy goes through.
And what's your take on his relationship with Robert Kraft?
I mean, I don't know personally what it is. I know they have a pretty good working relationship by the 20.
Seems to be, right? Yeah.
The 20-some years that they've been together, they've had a lot of success. So, you know, I think with anything, when you're with someone for a long period of time, I'm sure there's things that people, you know, don't agree on or have different opinions on. But they've always handled it, you know, very kosherly in front of everyone. And you know, I've never ever thought of anything like, or like these guys ever dispute something, or because there's always media headlines out there that are saying like this or that, you know, that there's a funk or there's this. And that's just people trying to get a story. And that's just sellers trying to sell some content.
The only version of that I ever thought, I wonder if there's any there was, you know, how Tom ended up, you know, moving on. And is it like, how hard did Belichick fight to keep Tom? Because there's a part of me that makes up, I don't know if it's true, what I make up is both those guys at a certain point had done, they've ticked every box. They've done everything there is to do. They're both the goats. And there's a part of them that goes, you know what? I'd like to see, just want to show people that I can do this on my own, that it isn't just a systems offense in New England, that you can just plug and play. That's sort of what I make up about it. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, they were together for a long time and they're both competitive people. And, you know, I don't know personally how that really went down. Football is crazy, you know, like when guys do their business with the team, it's not like we all just get in the locker room and we sit and collude like, hey, so how you hitting this guy? You know, what's going on? Like, it's not like that. You kind of allow people to do and make their own decisions because ultimately they're making the decisions for their team and that's their family. So you let people do that on their own. But, you know, you spend a lot of time with a lot of people. And then they got to a bunch of different levels that a lot of people will never even fathom or even think about getting with the amount of success that these two have had. You know, they're competitive guys. I'm sure they, you know, once it went, they went in different directions, they're both probably trying to compete against each other. So,
yeah.
You know, hey, that's probably what it is. You never know.
Hey, listeners. Ever have trouble getting someone on the phone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day, or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER. To get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card. Thanks to Quince, I can get high-end, versatile pieces at fantastic prices. They've got killer luxury essentials that are perfect for my wardrobe. Quince has all the must-haves, like Mongolian cashmere crewneck sweaters from $50, iconic 100% leather jackets, and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes that savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. One of my producers tried Quince, and here's what he had to say.
I'm really excited to revamp my closet with Quince. There are so many great options at pretty unbeatable prices. I'm really excited to try out the burgundy cashmere crewneck. I love the blue chore jacket. Maybe I'll throw some joggers in there. These are great options at pretty unbeatable prices.
Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/rob for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince, quince.com/rob to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/rob. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. I know that for me, people are out, people are about, people want to do stuff, and we want to do it, but it can be a grind. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapist at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/RobLowe today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/RobLowe.
I'm always entertained this time of year is the annual Pawtuxet Phil, the groundhog that comes out every year. Is Aaron Rodgers going to retire or go? That can't be great. Well, he lost his best wide receiver over it last year.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I love him. He's a cool dude. I mean, I think he's a stud. And I love watching him play. Met him once, seemed super nice and everything, but I don't get the feeling that Green Bay wants to move off of him. He's their guy. So I don't really get what the drama is every year.
It's pretty nuts right now with the NFL in general and seeing with the salary cap how teams are having success. We look at three of the four teams in the final four right now. They're all on rookie contract deals with the quarterback. And So that means they could pay a whole bunch of people around them. Jalen Hurts, Brock Purdy, Burrow, they all have insane amount of weapons. And that's because they're not taking up the majority of the cap. Now, Patrick Mahomes is there, but he lost Tyreek Hill. So, there's a little playing ball on what your priority is at the quarterback position. Do you want to make money or do you want to win? Tom took, he took less money a lot of the years. So a lot of guys get a lot of different other players. And that showed you his priority was winning. And Aaron, you can't read minds, but you can read mannerisms. I mean, if you're going to go out and you want to be the highest paid guy, you got to sit there and say, well, you're probably not going to get the best weapons because you can't afford it. There's a salary cap. That's why there's so much parity in the National Football League. And it's getting pretty interesting if you take a deep dive and watch these next 5 or 6 years, how teams are going to start approaching their roster. Like, this Brock Purdy thing, if he goes out here and wins this thing, I mean, that's going to be a new template on how to build a team potentially, because these younger quarterbacks, they're getting smarter. They're developing quicker because they've been playing in 7-on-7 camps since they were 10 years old with specialty coaches. There's so much more information for them to gather. They have, athletes are evolving at such a faster rate, and they're being able to get in the league and just plug and play. I mean, look at Jamar Chase at the receiver position. It used to be one of the hardest positions to really jump in the league because of, the complexity of the game, the reading of this. And all these guys have been doing this for a long time. So it's a testing. So I don't know if I answered the question.
But no, you did 100%. I mean, so the theory is, by the way, it's the same in baseball. My Dodgers, 111 games and nothing to show for it. And I'm like, build a team that wins 85 games then. Let's go build a team that wins 85 games. Well, you don't need to win 111 games. It's the new way the sport has developed. Do you need a quote-unquote franchise quarterback? These new kids, man, get them out, run them out, see how they do.
Yeah, it's with the rules and the cap, I mean, you're going to start seeing a lot of change. And it's going to be interesting to see who Cup goes out, wins this, and then you're going to see the ripple effect. Because whenever you win a Super Bowl, guys unload. When you win, people are getting paid. You know what I mean?
I saw it with the Rams. I mean, listen, oof.
We were an anomaly with the New England Patriots with the amount of years we were able to, hold the success, 20-plus years.
How was that? Is that a Bob Kraft thing? Is it a... No, nobody bailed.
I think it's a joint effort between everyone. I think it's Mr. Kraft allowing Coach Belichick to do the football things and them having a great working relationship. Yeah. It's the players that signing the contracts with Coach Belichick and the Patriots, you know, Brady being there, the guys buying into the system. There's so many different, you know, theories, and there's so many different ways to go out win. And you know, it's different now, though, because it's already – the league continually changes. I mean, from when I got into the league in 2009, by the time I got out, I mean, it was a different game. So, like, there's constant learning on where the game's going, how the game is moving, how, what players are getting more and more valuable. I mean, if you look at receivers versus the running back, you know, in the last 10 years, a running back is almost irrelevant. Those guys are like a dime a dozen because the game has become such a pass-dominant game. Now you're seeing receivers making $20 million. You know what I mean? That was never in, you know, you ever even thought about
and,
that.
And tight ends are next.
And tight ends are next, you know, with Travis Kelce and Gronkowski and what the, you know, these guys have laid the foundation for. So, you know, it's become a big space game. So there's that, that means these guys that are catching that ball are going to get paid a lot more. I just wish I played in that era, or I played in this era, you know, instead. Played in an area where it wasn't getting that kind of gouda.
Yeah, I can only imagine watching that and seeing how that goes on. Am I crazy to think that Joe Burrow reminds me a lot of Tom?
He's like a modern day Tom,
isn't he?
Kind of.
Is the mechanics?
I think it's because of his pocket presence. You know, how he can manipulate the pocket with a sudden move. He takes deep drops. He can step up. He has to go out and win some Super Bowls here. But, you know, he's got that cool, calm collectness in any kind of situation. It seems when, you know, the team needs it the most, he comes and performs. And that's what, you know, Brady did for 20 years. He's still doing. And that's why it reminds you a little of that. And it's also, you know, he doesn't have the flashiness of, you know, the improv skill of what, you know, Mahomes and Josh Allen have. And it almost reminds you of like when Brady was playing and everyone always talked about Peyton and Breeze and how these guys had signature plays and signature, you know, type games, but no one ever could really pinpoint when Brady did his. He just went out and won. You know what I mean?
That's right.
And that's kind of what Joe's doing. I mean, he was down three linemen, no one gave him a shot.
I couldn't believe it.
Going on the road in Buffalo in a snow game, and he starts out 9 for 9, 2 touchdowns.
I thought he was going to be wheeled out on a stretcher based on the way that line played the week before.
You knew he wasn't going to be getting taken out by a stretcher because the year before last year, the team led in allowing sacks, and he was still into the Super Bowl, that's an anomaly.
So durable.
The ability to find, you know, a way to get it done, that's what reminds me of Brady, you know, and performing under pressure. And just he does have, even though he's, you know, was the Heisman Trophy winner, the number one pick, like all year you still hear about Josh Allen and you hear about Patrick Mahomes. You don't hear as much about Burrow. And you know, he's showing up and he's reminding people like, oh, yeah, we forgot about talking about this guy.
No, because it's funny. I was about to say, well, that's a Cincinnati thing, but I thought, wait a minute, Buffalo has no more profile than Cincinnati does actually, that's not true. As a franchise, they do, because they've been to so many Super Bowls, didn't win any, but they went to a lot of them, I was always surprised that Burrow didn't pull an Eli or a Peyton, that he actually went and played for the Bengals, and he's turned that organization around. It's really cool to see.
He's an Ohio kid, so
yeah,
I mean,
I know, same as me. But listen, I'm an Ohio kid, and we rooted for the Steelers.
Yeah, Dayton, right? You went. You grew up in Dayton.
Yeah,
yeah. I went to school in Northeast Ohio, so
you're a Kent State guy, right?
Went to Kent State, and
now do you really? Is it true? I love this story. Do you really wear your Kent State T-shirt underneath your pads all the time to remind you of like, I came from Kent State, not Alabama.
Hell yeah! I mean, I used to wear this yellow like dry fit shirt for probably like 8 or 9 years straight for every practice, and yeah, I wanted to remind guys that, you know, like Papa said, I am what I am. I didn't go to Alabama. I didn't go to USC. Yep. Went to Kent State. A school that, you know, doesn't invest a lot of money into the football program, that, you know, you pretty much had a vending machine in the locker room, had a Division I program, and then I'm still here with you, and I want to remind you of that.
No, it's great. It's one of the great things about your story. I mean, everybody makes a big deal about overcoming adversity and things like that, but you, there would have been nothing. Well, it's not really true, because you always had people seeing football skills in you. I mean, you had that offer to go play in Canada as a quarterback, and you didn't do it. So it's not that it's a shocker to people. Clearly people saw your ability. And yet at the same time, it's also an amazing story that you were able to accomplish what you accomplished.
I mean, it's been a hell of a ride. I was trained at a young age, and I created a chip on my shoulder as a kid when I was always very undersized. And you go into in high school, you go into a recruiting trip, and no one gave you the attention because you weren't the biggest guy or the fastest guy. I always felt I was the best football player on the field whenever I was on the field, until I got to the league, and then you start playing with guys, you know. But before then, like, I felt like I was the best football player on the field at all times. And that kind of have to prove it mentality from a very young age, it helped me to keep that drive and that, you know, that hard-assness, you know, all the way throughout my whole career. And a lot of that is building a story in your head and motivating yourself. You know what I mean? That's what I learned a lot from Brady. You know, he's always hold on to such a little thing that someone said in seventh grade to him that, you know, he couldn't do, like, and he could still remember that, because he would pull from that to hit that string, to let himself not get complacent, to let himself, you know, to remind himself, like, yo, I was into the pain, man. I was never the guy that, you know, they were trying to put on a pedestal. You know, they were trying to replace me at Michigan. You know, I was a system, like, he pulls from that stuff. And I learned a little bit from him, and to keep creating that chip, you know, so I don't know.
Do you think that is useful, combating the mental stuff that you need to break through and stay focused on, or the physical? Because the other thing I think about is guys as they age, just, it's like, oh my God, another camp? Really? You know, like, it's not for the faint of heart the older you get to crush your body like that.
Yeah, I mean, you got to get smart. I used to be a guy that would go in and run 70 routes a day, work out, run, and work my tail off, you know, and, you know, Brady would look at me and just say, won't you work smart enough?
Amazing.
You know, won't you go get quality reps and something that you need to work on? You know, and instead of getting quantity reps just to get a rep in.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to take that to heart, and you're continually, the older you get, the harder it gets, you know, especially in athletics, because you have to do so much more to not get hurt, to keep your body prepared, to recover, to go out and perform. And you know, it does wear on you. And that's ultimately why guys give the game up, is because you can't go out and do it. And that grind of that daily grind, it gets to you, because, you know, when you were 22, you go out and it was easy. You know, you didn't have to stretch. You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do the pre-ab. You didn't have to do the body work. You know, when you're 33, you're 34, you know, you do 2 hours of work before work just to be able to go through work.
That's unbelievable.
You know, you do 2 hours after, and then everything is calculated, and you're trying to get every inch you possibly can. And then when it starts to hit you and you turn on the field and you don't look like what you used to look like, or you start seeing some kind of deficiencies, you know, that's when you're like, I can't see myself like that. So you got to give it up.
Well, listen, Tom is the poster boy of that conversation. It's like, and probably this year more than ever, because it didn't go the way he would have liked, obviously. And he went through so much adversity with his personal life at the same time in the public. And it's just, it's got to be an unbelievably tough. There's so many openings for him. I mean, I don't know if you said, right before I came in today, I was going through my little internet scroll, and there he's walking through private schools in Miami for the kids.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, by the way, if I'm Tua, I'm never playing again. I don't care. I'm never taking another snap, ever.
Yeah, but that's like, that's
you
like
said the last concussion, bro, was a nothing burger. And you, I don't need to tell you this. You get, the more concussions you get, the easier you get concussed. And that was a nothing burger. It was like a clink.
Yeah, I mean, that this is what he loves. Like if someone said you can't go, you know, you can't go out and do what you do, you know, acting, it's, you know, it's in you. And you know, this is ultimately is what is going to give him the life he wants. And he loves football. And you'll appreciate
that. Okay, well,
let
me ask you this. If you're the owners of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it's different. Now there's liability.
You go, hey, I don't want this kid. I don't want to take responsibility for it. If he wants to play, God bless him. But I'm not taking responsibility for it. Hey, Mr. Brady, we have great private schools in the Miami-Dade area.
There's a lot of nice private schools out there. And the weather's pretty good from what I hear, too. All year round, except during hurricane season. But
here's the other one that I listen. I'm not breaking any news. Is I love the idea of the Tom Brady residency in Las Vegas. That makes me laugh so hard because it's exactly what it would feel like. Everybody has a residency. Why shouldn't Tom Brady?
Yeah, his kids are in Miami though. It's tough. Yeah. You start getting older. Kids getting older.
Yeah,
you know, you got to be around them.
Yeah, and you can, and his kids, I remember when my kids were that age, you can feel slipping away isn't the right thing, but you can see the horizon. And you can see time is super limited. And I've always admired how dedicated he is to those kids. It's one of the things that I think people love about Tom. And that makes sense.
You know, from the years I've been around him, the guy loves football in his family. And, you know, he's a simple guy. You know, he likes to compete, loves to be with his family.
Okay, well, that brings you to another thing. He's got this ginormous TV deal. Who's it with? Do you know? I forget.
Fox.
I should. It is with Fox. It's with my guys.
Yeah.
Fox. All right. So you would know this better than anybody. I don't mean to put you on the spot. Everybody knew Peyton was hilarious. Everybody knows it. He's hilarious. He did my roast. He killed it on my Comedy Central roast. So funny. But you knew it. From the commercial, you knew this. Romo, maybe people knew that he had some sort of personality swagger. I don't think anybody was prepared for him to sort of revolutionize the booth, which he definitely did. And I don't mean this as any disrespect to Tom, and I don't know the man, but personally, scintillatingly exciting would not be the way I would describe it. What's he going to be like in the booth?
He's probably going to work harder than anyone else to do it. And that's the kind of guy he is. He's going to find a way what he has to do to prepare. I mean, the guy knows football probably better than anyone in this world. Other, you know, he's played 20 plus years. He's seen every scenario. He's seen, you know, different generations of the game, three different generations. So he's going to have a lot of insight and he's going to know a lot about, he can go, you know, Tom could go out and call the same thing Tony Romo's doing when he sees a little zone blitz because the, you know, this shade on the eye tech. Like, Tom could do that, too. Tom,
right,
while he was playing, a lot better than Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
Did. You know?
Yeah, no.
So,
I love that you went there. I love it.
I'm a CBS guy, and I love Romo. I love Romo. But, you know, Tom Brady's seen a lot of football, and he's got a resume, and he's got a fan base that he's got a lot of eyeballs on him. So, regardless, I think he's going to be all right.
Yeah, no, listen, as do I. I mean, and
it's going to be interesting. You know, it's going to, that kind of what is he going to be is going to make it appealing for the viewer. Like, I want to tune in to see what Brady's personality is going to be on this thing. Because
when it's also a function, as you know, you're in the booth, you know what it's like. It's a function of who they pair you with, too. I mean, you know, do you have a synergy with whoever is, you know, calling the play-by-play. If you're the
chemistry
guy,
has to be on point. Definitely, the chemistry has to be on point. It's got to feel conversational. You guys got to come off as friends and finish each other's sentences. Like, that's definitely going to be a huge part of it. But I we'll see if he's in Atlanta, but I bet you it's a different kind of, I don't know, you know, like, because I haven't asked him yet on the real details of what he's going to be doing. I bet you it's going to be a whole bunch of different things. I don't know.
Yeah, because that's my feeling. My feeling is it's this this ginormous, amorphous deal that nobody really knows what it's going to be, other than they're like, we opened up the checkbook because we want this guy in our air, and we'll figure it out later.
I mean, he's a hell of a guy to get. I mean,
yeah, oh, for sure.
Transform your bathroom cleaning with Wet and Forget weekly shower cleaner. You just spray today and rinse tomorrow for a no-scrub clean. With over 33,000 five-star reviews, this is your once-a-week solution to keeping your tub and shower surfaces sparkling clean. Available at Amazon, Lowe's, Menards, Home Depot, and Ace Hardware. Join thousands who've switched to an easier clean. Get your Wet and Forget weekly shower cleaner today and make your bathroom sparkle with zero scrubbing. Join Macy's in an effort to shop more sustainably with brands like Carter's Little Planet, Oak, On 34th, Elemis, and more. Plus, to help bring more parks to more people, Macy's is supporting Trust for Public Lands Community Schoolyards Project, transforming vacant schoolyards into green spaces to help ensure healthy, livable communities for generations to come. Donate online or in store and learn more at Macy's.com/purpose.
I love fast cars, but there aren't a ton of high performance EVs. They're certainly out here there. But when I get a chance to get behind the wheel of one, I love it. And I was blown away by the Kia EV6 GT. When you get behind the wheel of the Kia, it is literally like being in a state-of-the-art rocket ship, but also comfortable. The thing goes from 0 to 60 in 3.4 seconds. It is the premium driving experience. And of course, it's an EV. So the climate thanks you. SiriusXM provides access to over 165 channels in the vehicle. Music, sports, news, comedy, yacht rock. Let's go. Little Steely Dan going in your Kia. Come on now. So check it out today. It is the all-electric Kia EV6 GT. I had a blast checking it out. Believe me, you should do it yourself via kia.com/EV6. To learn more, that is kia.com/EV6. Kia, movement that inspires.
All right, I got to talk to you about your movie, 80 for Brady.
Yeah.
Dude. It's the greatest idea ever. I mean, so it's Sally Field, who I did Brothers and Sisters with. I love Sally. Lily, who I did The West Wing with. Rita Moreno, who I have met over the years. She's the, you know, amazing EGOT. She's got it all, man.
Triple Three. She had an Oscar, a Tony.
Emmy, the Golden Globe, EGOT, Oscar, Tony. Yeah, she's got them all.
Yeah, you got the acronyms. I'm not really good with acronyms.
Me neither. But, yeah. I struggled, and it was my business, and I just struggled.
No, it was unbelievable, like, to be on set with those. They're legends, those ladies.
Yeah.
And, like, you could just feel their energy. And honestly, it was crazy impressive to see how they worked and how prepared they were. And the ability to turn it on and turn it off and make people feel comfortable, because, you know, we're not all actors, you know, we don't do that for a living, but, you know, they could put you in a zone to make you comfortable and allow you to do what you had to do. And they were just really cool ladies, man. And they sat and took time with us, because there's a lot of downtime, and we would sit outside, and, you know, Sally was such a sweetheart. Rita, like, she was playing with my beard, made me all, like, goo-goo gaga and stuff, and he was not really what to do. You know, they have no filters, and I had a blast. It was an unbelievable experience that I haven't even seen the movie yet. I gotta go see it.
I can't wait to see it, because I just all the ladies in the Brady jersey is so genius to me, that image. Sally Field, without a question, there is not anybody
in my 45 plus years of doing what I do who works harder than Sally, who takes it as seriously. Sally is 100% actor. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. And you could feel that. You could feel that. And, you know, I was only around for a couple of days. But the energy that these women gave off, it was contagious. You wanted to work. You know what I mean? It was a pretty cool experience, you know, especially my folks loved all these ladies. You know, we're in different generations.
Yeah.
It was crazy to get to meet them all.
What an amazing experience for someone who's, you know, comes from a different world, and you come into the acting world and you're surrounded by
goats.
Yeah, you can't think of the goats. I mean, by the way, I have to talk about your children's book for a quick second. It's so genius that you're a squirrel and that you're taught the lessons of how to go through life by the goat named Tom is the greatest. It's so genius. I love it.
The old wise owl was Bill.
Wise owl is Bill.
Yeah.
He has a bill because an owl has a bill too.
Exactly. Exactly. That was a fun experience. I was inspired by having my little girl 6 years ago. We just won a Super Bowl. My little girl was born and we were like, we want to do something. And I wanted to get in that space. I had a lot of inspiration from Marcellus Bennett, another teammate of mine who has a couple children's books. And I was always called the squirrel. And, you know, I sat down with my partner, Asaroff, and we came up with this story. And it turned out to be a pretty cool thing that we made three books, a trilogy after each Super Bowl. And it was fun. And it's fun to see, you know, all the comments and all the love you get for those books, or I go to a children's reading at a school doing your own book. I mean, it was a really cool experience. And, watching your little girl read the book and cool messages, you know, accountability, hard work, all these little things. And if you could put it in children's book form, you never know, you may get a couple kids that'll listen.
Writing in its simplest form is the single hardest writing you can do. There's a great quote. I don't know who said it was, forgive the length of the letter I am writing. I did not have enough time to write a shorter one.
It's true. It's true. Get your point across in a little amount of words.
Yeah, it's really true. Well, I'm excited. I hope the movie does great. And I know you're a friend, but he hasn't talked to you. You're a human being. You're entitled to your own opinion. Where's Tom going to play?
You know, it's
you have a gun to your head. You must give an answer. You must.
I don't think he plays.
Interesting. Can he go out? Well, listen. Of course he can. What do you mean? Can he? He's the greatest who's ever lived. He can go out however he got any way he wants to go out.
He can.
But he's not. There's no woulda, coulda, shouldas about the season. Would he like to have one last season without the debilitating personal distractions that he had?
Yeah, but then he goes out and say he does have the fairy book ending, and he goes and wins the Super Bowl. I want to go do it again if I'm playing this good.
I know.
So when's it gonna happen?
I know. Now, that's
an ultra competitor.
See, that to me is the greatest point.
It's about what you think. Like when I retired is because my body started giving up on me. You know, I couldn't do the thing but if I was still being able, or if I still thought I could do it, I'd still be playing.
Okay, I got to ask you one other thing. Did you ever have one of those crazy Alex massages, those insane TB12?
Yeah. Are they all the time?
All the time.
I worked with Alex regularly.
So, because he and I have been playing phone tag. I really want to get to know him a little better, because I'm all about anybody that can longevity, youthfulness. I'm down. I'm so down. But I hear they're excruciatingly painful. Is that true?
They're excruciatingly painful if your body is tight. So the more you do it and the more often you get it, your body gets used to it. And then that's when it's not hurting, that's when the treatment's working, because it's making you more pliable, more long. Your bodies are, your muscles are getting accustomed to it. Then you're getting more blood to your muscles. And how he uses his techniques, I mean, he has some of the best, like, soft tissue talent and the ability to figure out where it's hurting and why it's hurting and what areas he has to hit to make that area not hurt, better than anyone I worked with. And I've worked with them all.
Really? Oh, that's okay. I'm going to,
he's a genius. I mean, he's not side by side with Tom for a reason.
Yeah, for sure. No, I need to get back into that.
But it is going to hurt, you know, the first few times, you know, but you got to be able to, like, after you keep on getting on a routine with it, you feel a lot better. And, you know, the pain gradually gets less and less.
Awesome. Well, listen, this has been great fun. I hope you had a good time.
Definitely. Big fan.
Thank you, brother.
I've been watching you for years.
Thanks, man. Thank you.
I got so mad at you when you took Cassandra. So mad.
You know, if I can't run.
He was too pretty. I was more like a Wayne.
Yeah, listen, man.
And you speak Cantonese. How'd you speak Cantonese?
I mean, I got all the clubs in the bag, bro. I got to use them.
Someone's got him. If you have to use them.
That's right. All right, brother. I hope we'll cross paths at some point, I'm sure, around the
world. Definitely.
All right,
definitely.
Man.
Nice meeting you.
Thanks, man.
Take care.
I could have talked to him a lot longer. I love talking sports with the studs, and that guy's a stud, let me tell you. But if he thinks he's coming into my dojo with 80 for Brady, I will say, hey, welcome to the NFL, kid. But I am psyched to see 80 for Brady. I mean, listen, who can resist septuagenarians and Tom Brady jerseys? I know I can't. It's going to be sick. Anyway, you know what time it is. It's time to check the lowdown line.
Hello, you've reached literally in our lowdown line, where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323-570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hi, Rob. This is Sherry. I'm from Navarre Beach, Florida, in the Panhandle. I am also a motorcycle enthusiast, been riding for over 20 years, and I noticed you had a new motorcycle on your episode 1 of your current season of Lone Star 911. Did you ride that bike? I have another question, and that is, when you're writing your books, do you record into a messaging device so that you can write it all down later? I love your stories, love the podcast, and your books. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you so much. It never gets old hearing those nice words. My motorcycle is a Triumph Bonneville. That's my personal motorcycle. When I was on a show called Code Black, my character rode a motorcycle, and I rode my own motorcycle when I played that character. The motorcycle that you referenced in the first episode of this year's 911 Lone Star, very excited about, is also a Triumph. I like Triumphs. They're my thing. They're my jam. So when I'm riding a motorcycle, that's what it usually is. In terms of my books, I am old school. I write everything by hand. All my notes are on legal pads. In fact, both of my books are my two prized possessions. Like, if, God forbid, I had to evacuate out of my house, one of the first things I'm getting are my bound legal pads of both of my books, all in my handwriting, chicken scratch, half of it's illegible, crossed out. I can't type fast enough to keep up with my thoughts. I can barely write fast enough, but I certainly can't type. So that's why it's all longhand. And there's also, I think, something about pen to paper. There's just some zhuzh about it that I think is super special.
Thanks for the call, and please keep listening.
Thank you all for tuning in, and more fun up on deck next week on Literally.
You've been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced by me, Rob Schulte, with help from associate producer Sarah Bagar. Our research is done by Alyssa Grahl. The podcast is executive produced by Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and Joanna Solitaroff at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Stitcher. All of the music on this podcast was composed by Devin Bryant. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Literally with Rob Lowe.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.